You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. Nate Davis joins us USA Today to go over week one of the NFL. How are you, Nate?
Good, Tony. How are you?
Good. We love to kind of overreact on these kind of games. We have fun with that. But overall, what was the game that really stood out to you that says, wait, maybe this didn't go as well as I thought?
I mean, I think you'd have to say the Packers getting blown out and Aaron Rodgers playing so poorly. I mean, to me, that's really the game that stood out above any other, just because you can't even – it's pretty hard to call it a fluke at 38-3. Not saying that they can't just wash it away and bounce back from it next week, which is certainly the narrative that Aaron Rodgers is going to want to have us believe. But, to me, that was the most shocking outcome of the weekend.
And what about on the flip side of that, Jameis Winston throwing 5 touchdowns? And we've seen him do good things in Tampa and not so good things in Tampa. But was that a surprise, given that he had not played hardly – he played hardly at all last year?
I don't think anyone probably had Jameis Winston throwing 5 touchdowns and 0 picks for less than 150 yards at that in week one. But, I mean, I'm not surprised he played well. And it's not like he was – you know, he had the one deep touchdown, obviously. But, I mean, mostly I think he was picking apart a compromised defense and taking advantage of turnovers. But, again, you look at that 5 touchdowns, no picks, and you could say that maybe there should have been the one pick when Za'Darius Smith got called for the roughing call. It was a pretty shady call. But, I was impressed with Jameis when we saw him there in week two. And even the week one in Baltimore when he had a couple turnovers, I really kind of thought he was diagnosing well, really zipping the ball downfield well. I thought it was funny, you know, Drew Brees said last night, you know, apparently this is what the Saints have been missing this whole time. So, I think it's going to be really fascinating to watch, you know, how this team moves forward with him, because I think we've kind of all, you know, maybe downgraded the Saints a little bit with Drew gone, but it's certainly possible that this offense has expanded and has more possibilities, and there's all of a sudden, you know, these deep shots, there's more room for Alvin Kamara to run. There's going to be it's going to be a fascinating team to monitor this year.
All right, so one of the more fascinating games in terms of entertainment value was Kansas City against Cleveland, and while there's no moral victories, how should the Browns or how should Brown fans see their team's performance against a team? Because this is now the second time they've lost to Kansas City, the last team that beat them. Are they getting closer, or is that more frustrating because they are close?
Can my answer be yes?
Sure.
Yeah. I picked them to win yesterday, I think the Browns are for real. In fact, I'm picking them to go represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. But Patrick Mahomes left the divisional round game early last year. He was in the entire day yesterday. It was a full 12-round bout. Maybe you have a different outcome if your punter doesn't drop the snap and give the ball to the Chiefs in the 15-yard line when Cleveland's leading. So, and plus the fact that, I know some people may think that Odell's Beckham's absence is a good thing. The team has been better without him, but I still think he's going to add something to that attack once he gets on board. So, if I'm a Cleveland fan, I mean, if I'm losing week one, I mean, obviously it's a narrative I'm used to going back to 2004. But if you're that close to the Chiefs, and particularly playing in that building the last two times, and certainly yesterday with a full house, I don't think there's any reason to worry at all.
In terms of the two teams that played in Buffalo, the Bills not winning that game at home, being up 10-0, and the Steelers coming back in the second half and doing it mostly on defense, which is the team, which identity are we seeing in terms of this game? I mean, is the Steelers going to be playing a defensive football the rest of the season? Do you think the offense comes around? And how do you think the Bills respond to a loss like this?
Well, I mean, I think there's one to play. I mean, I think they're getting back the identity of what they wanted to be. And like you said, it's defensive football. It's swarming to the quarterback. You know, T.J. Watt didn't look like he missed a beat. And it's running the ball. I mean, Najee Harris didn't have a big day statistically yesterday, but I think he's going to bring a whole new element to that offense. And I'm sure Mike Tomlin, whether he would say it or not, is much happier seeing this outcome with Ben Roethlisberger throwing for fewer than 200 yards than some of the things he's been watching in recent years. So, I think I'm among those who probably downgraded the Steelers and wanted to count them out a little early. I think certainly the door is open, given all the injury issues that, that Baltimore has had, for them to kind of stay in that, that playoff picture. As for Buffalo, I think they'll respond. I mean, I think it's a bad day out of the gate for them. But you know, I think if their defense is better this year, and you know, they get Zach Moss back and are able to kind of diversify and improve that running game, I think they'll be okay. I'm not gonna panic from a Bills fan either.
Was it a surprising outcome in Nashville, given Arizona and what Kyler Murray was able to do against the Titans?
I mean, I can't say I'm surprised that Arizona won, but I mean, to win by that margin and be so dominant against that particular team. I mean, if I'm a Titans fan this morning, I got to say I'm a little worried, just given how poorly my offensive line played, you know, how badly, you know, Taylor Wan admittedly got exposed there by Chandler Jones, but even more so just how bad the defense is. And that was the bugaboo last year. You know, on the plus side, it looks like that's probably, you know, the AFC South is probably the worst division of football by sight. So, I mean, you know, if the Titans just show up for 16 more games, you know, they ought to win that division. But are they ready to be a real Super Bowl contender? I think you got to question that at this point. I mean, I thought there were five legitimate AFC contenders kind of going into the season for Super Bowl status. I'm not sure that the Titans are a team that I think can get out of the wild card round at this point.
Let's go to New England. Dolphins beat the Patriots, but Mac Jones getting obviously the start for the Patriots. How did you grade his performance?
I thought he was probably the best of the all the rookie quarterbacks yesterday, at least, you know, soup to nuts. But, you know, it's going to take some time. I didn't get a chance to watch a whole lot of that game. You know, it looks like the Patriots defense is back. And I think that's really the formula that the Patriots want. You know, the defense played well. They ran the ball well. And Damian Harris has the unfortunate fumble there at the end that pretty much decides the outcome of that game. So, I mean, Mac Jones was this close to pretty much doing what he needed to do, which was to manage the game, take care of the ball. And they were in position to win at the end, but got bitten by this turnover bug. So, and given kind of the mixed bag that we saw again from Tua, I think I'm a Patriots fan. I probably feel a little better today than maybe I do as a Dolphins fan, even though they came away with fortune W. But I think Mac Jones is going to be okay. You know, frankly, I picked him to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think he's just got to be efficient as he was, and he'll continue to get better. And I think they're going to be all right up there.
On a level of kind of, well, I don't want to say impressiveness. That may not be the right word. But what did you make of the Broncos with Teddy Bridgewater and they're now a defense, Melvin Gordon? I know they're playing the Giants, and they're not certainly a team that is world beaters. But do you feel like now Denver is putting those pieces together for Vic Fangio?
Yeah, I thought the Broncos were going to be a playoff team last year. You know, they had that really great finish to the 2019 season when Drew Locke played pretty well. Obviously, there was a great amount of disruption at the quarterback position last year. Much of that self-inflicted, whether it's COVID protocols or interceptions on Drew Locke's part. But you know, I thought, you know, pretty good response yesterday by Teddy Bridgewater amid, you know, the latest report that the Broncos are going to be, you know, all in for Aaron Rodgers, you know, whenever the Packers decide to make him available. But I think, you know, we talk about the NFC West being the best division all the time. I think the AFC West is going to be right there with it. I mean, between those two divisions, you know, teams are 7-0 at this point, with the Raiders yet to go tonight. But I think the Broncos again. I think Teddy Bridgewater is probably the perfect guy to play quarterback for them right now. You know, we just talked about Mac Jones because that defense under Vic Fangio. I mean, we saw what it was with the Bears a few years ago. You know, they've got Von Miller and Bradley Chubb mostly healthy, back finally playing together. I think that's going to be a really tough team. And if Teddy can do what he does, which is not turn the ball over and occasionally make those deep strikes, and you got speedsters like KJ Hamler out there, Cortland Sutton back, it looks like they might have dodged a bullet with that Jerry Jeudy injury. And then the Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams, you know, two-headed backfield thing. I mean, that looks like that's going to work out pretty well. So that's a team, you know, I think that AFC West will be fun to watch, because I think the Broncos and the Chargers both are really going to push the Chiefs, and the Raiders might even get into that mix too.
Bears last night, they lose on the road, and that conversation about Justin Fields is going to get hotter and hotter and hotter. Do you think how many games do you think Matt Nagy needs before he comes under the pressure to start Justin Fields?
Well, you know, they had Aaron Donald last week. They're hosting Cincinnati this week. The week after that, they've got Myles Garrett and the Browns. So if you kind of want to get through this early rush of pass rushers, maybe it's week four at home against the Lions. You got the Raiders after that. Those should be two fairly friendly defenses to maybe start Justin Fields with some confidence. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of frankly sick of all this Justin Fields stock. I mean, whether he plays, whether he doesn't, I mean, he's going to get in there eventually. But I think kind of we're bearing the lead at some points, and that I don't think the Bears are a very good team. I mean, that defense looked really bad last night. I think people have kind of not really noticed, but it's been kind of getting steadily worse from Vic Fangio a few years ago to Chuck Pagano, and now Sean Desai is essentially a rookie coordinator. And then you sweep that away, and the offensive line, you know, is terrible. And then some of that is self-inflicted. I mean, it made no sense to me that the Bears, you know, cut Charles Leno right after drafting Tevin Jenkins, who had the back problems at Oklahoma State, is now on IR after back surgery. So I just feel from so many different ways the Bears have already mismanaged this team. And, you know, yeah, Justin Fields is going to get in at some point, and maybe he'll be exciting. But to me, this team is not going to be, you know, relevant this season. So hopefully he gets in. Hopefully he doesn't get injured behind those blockers. But I think probably that's all the Bears fans really have to look forward to this season.
It's so true. And you're right. If it comes out to a point where he's on a bad team with a bad offensive line, it actually might be worse. Nate, always appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on so quickly.
Okay, pleasure. Thanks.
You got Nate Davis, USA Today, joining us to talk some NFL. Yeah, he's right about the Bears' offensive line. And what if you put in Justin Fields and he suffers the same kind of thing? Then all of a sudden you go, oh, well, okay, now what do I have, right? If you're a fan, now what do I do? Now what do I have? I've been clamoring for this guy to play. I want him to play. He's going to be more exciting. But what if he gets in and does nothing, right? What if he does nothing? What if he does everything? I mean, if he does everything, that's fine. But what if he does nothing? Then what else do you have? And I think that's one of the takeaways, is to be very careful in these kind of settings, because you could be setting up your young quarterback for failure right off the bat, which some people say is okay because he gets in there and he makes the mistakes and he learns from the mistakes. But we've also seen rookie quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, go into a setting and never recover again. And you got to really weigh that if you're the Bears organization. We'll come back, wrap up as we get ready for Monday Night Football tonight. Some thoughts on that game this evening as we continue with Wake Up Call.